Several hours later, the sitting room was virtually deserted when Ibrahim Jevons re-entered it. Marlis Farno accompanied him, and the smile on her face was more than merely professional, Angelic thought, as they approached her. That was good. Marlis was one of her favorites, and she'd hoped the young woman would find Jevons pleasant company. First impressions could always be misleading, however, and she was glad this one apparently had not been.
"Are you leaving us, Ibrahim?"
"I'm afraid I must," he replied. "I have a meeting tomorrow morning to discuss one of the shipbuilding contracts. I need to be rested before I match wits with Vicar Robert's minions."
"A very wise attitude."
"So I've been told." He smiled at her. "Before I leave, however, I wondered if I might have a word in private."
"In private?"
Her eyebrows arched. "I have a request to make for a friend."
"I see."
Angelic's expression was only politely attentive, but mental ears pricked at something about her guest's tone. It was very slight, whatever it was, almost more imagined than heard. Yet it was there. She was oddly certain of that.
"Of course,"
she invited after the very briefest of hesitations, and gestured gracefully at one of the small side rooms.
"Will that be sufficiently private?"
"Perfectly," he assured her, and offered her his arm. They strolled across the all-but-deserted room, chatting easily, and Jevons casually closed the smaller chamber's door behind them. Then he turned to face Angelic.
"And now, Ibrahim," she said, "about this request of yours?"
"It's really quite simple," he told her.
"Adarai would appreciate your joining her in Caris."
Despite literally decades of hard-won experience and discipline, Angelic's eyes flew wide. She stared at him for a fleeting instant, then paled as she realized how she had betrayed herself. One slim hand rose to her throat, and her fingers closed on a locket she wore about her neck on a silken riband.
"Don't,"
Jevons said gently. She stared at him, eyes huge, and he shook his head.
"I don't think Adarai would be very happy if you swallowed that cyanide tablet, Ninian."
She froze, scarcely breathing, and he smiled crookedly at her.
"I know what you're thinking, but think a bit harder. If Clinton and Reynal suspected you, if they knew enough to know the name your aunt and uncle gave you, they'd have no reason to entrap you. You'd already be in custody."
She gazed at him, color slowly creeping back into her face, but she didn't take her hand from the locket.
"That depends," she said after another long pause, and her voice was astonishingly steady under the circumstances. "I can think of a few scenarios in which tricking me into trusting you could be more useful, advantageous at least, than simply arresting me and putting me to the question."
"I'm sure you can," he nodded. "At the same time, I think you know Clinton better than that." "Reyno," he shrugged slightly, "might be subtle enough to attempt something like that. But Clinton?" He shook his head. "Not in your case. Not if he began even to suspect all of the documentary evidence you sent to Adarai in Telisberg. Or, for that matter, that you were the one who got her and the boys out of the temple lands in the first place."
Her eyes narrowed at the further evidence of how much he knew about her.
"And he's right,"
she thought with an inner shiver she didn't allow to touch her eyes.
"If that pig Clinton had any idea of how much damage I've done, I'd be screaming in one of the Inquisition's questioning chambers this very instant, and I'd go on screaming for a very long time."
"All right," she said finally, although her fingers remained in contact with the locket.
"I'll assume you're really from Adarai. There doesn't,"
she smiled very crookedly,
"seem to be a great deal of point in pretending I don't know what you're talking about, at any rate. But why did she send you? Why now?"
To be perfectly honest, he said carefully, she didn't send me. She doesn't even know I'm here. But you said...
Her hand tightened around the locket again.
Gently.
His own hand shot out with blinding speed, more quickly than she'd ever seen or imagined a human hand could move. It closed on her wrist, and her eyes flew wide. Its grip was almost absurdly gentle, yet it might as well have been a steel vise. She jerked against it with all of her strength, hard enough she actually staggered half a step forward, and it didn't move a fraction of an inch.
I said she doesn't know I'm here, Angelique, he said quietly. I also said she'd like you to join her in Telesburg. Both of those statements were accurate. What do you mean?
She abandoned her useless effort to pull free of his grip, and her eyes narrowed once more, speculatively.
I'm sure that even here in Zion, you've heard stories about Sage in Merlin and his service to Karis.
Jevon's tone made the statement a question, and she nodded. He shrugged.
Well, you might say I'm cut from the same cloth as the Sagen, and Archbishop Michael and Merlin became aware of certain events transpiring here in Zion. On the basis of what they'd learned, the two of them decided it would be wise to send me here. Unfortunately, there wasn't time for them to explain their fears to Adarai or consult with her about it before they did. That's why I know a great deal about you, but not everything. So you claim to be a Sagen as well?
Angelique sounded more than a little skeptical, and Jevon smiled.
Like Merlin himself, I simply say I possess some of the abilities legend ascribes to Sagens.
He shrugged.
Still, it's a convenient label.
He paused, regarding her levelly.
If I let go of your wrist, will you promise to leave yourself unpoisoned long enough for us to talk?
He asked her then, with a ghost of a smile.
Yes, she said. But only if you let go of my wrist and step back a bit.
She held his gaze, her own unwavering, and he spent a second or two, obviously contemplating her requirement. Then he nodded.
Very well.
He released her wrist and stepped back 3 strides. It was about as far as he could go in the small chamber, and he smiled again sardonically as he folded his arms in a manifestly unthreatening gesture.
Is this sufficient, my lady? He inquired. I suppose it will have to do, won't it?
She replied, although, having seen how quickly he could move, she suspected he was still more than close enough to stop her before she actually got the poison into her mouth.
Now, you were saying?